Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters, friends and visitors alike. First of all, let me thank God, the Almighty God, who has been merciful not only to me but to all of us. Who could believe we would be sitting here and speaking to each other so quickly? It seems as though we didn't even move. Because you remember last year, I presented on the PowerPoint, you remember? What's going on in St. Croix? And now it's just as if we started yesterday. God is good. You know how many people have died in 2016? Celebrities. Yesterday I was looking at the list in memory of. And you could see lots of people in the papers who, they look like they're alive, but they're only on the picture. But they are long gone. We are still here. Thank God for that. And God is saying something to us. But do you believe Him? You see, I learned over the years, believe in God, you got to go through a lot of stuff. But it's if you stay focused on what you believe. Focus. If you stay focused, God is able to remove all the obstacles and bring you through. Amen. So I'm here today to say God is good. Amen. Because I know He has been good to us and I know He has been good to me. So I bring you greetings from Sister Monica and myself, Sister Richards, and me, from us. And from the brethren in the Virgin Islands, especially on St. Croix. You heard Brother Brown said how long it takes to fly from St. Croix to here. But then now we have San Juan, Puerto Rico. Remember that? You remember I showed it? That is just 25 minutes flight from St. Croix to San Juan, Puerto Rico. And so it would be in the hands, the capable hands of Brother Brown. He will tell you about the promotion. We have a promotion in evangelism. And Brother Brown will give you the details later. Is that all right? Yes, Brother Brown will do that. So today our responsibility is to preach the word. God's words. And He will inform you about that. Thank you, Brother Brown, for the opportunity. Thank you, Brother and Sister Brown, and to the church here, the leadership. We appreciate you very much. And we love you. We love what you do for the gospel of Christ. And whatever you can do, continue to do it. Because it's getting better. You hear from me and I'm telling you the truth. It's getting better. The promotion is better. And we have made the arrangement and you will hear more about it. We will leave the details with you. And so thank God for that. Thank the Lord. You know, I want to know when it comes to going out from this life into eternity. The assurance is there that we are not going to perish. Amen. We're going to make heaven our home. Amen. But the thing is, we got to believe in God. Amen. Not all of us who say we believe in God really believe. Because when there are troubles, we tend to give up. Isn't that right? Yes. When there are troubles staring us down, we tend to give up. But I love Paul. It seems to me that God had invested more in the apostle Paul than any of the other apostles. You know, here for example, when you read the book of Acts, most of the time we read from chapter 1 to chapter 20. And when we get to chapter 20, we just stop. But read all of it. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, all through to 28. And you would see some things there that made Paul an outstanding apostle. And here is why. You remember when Paul went to Jerusalem? James told Paul, Paul, you can't come here and preach circumcision is abolished. You remember that? Paul, you can't come here and talk about the things you've been talking. They're going to kill you. You remember? Yes. And Paul said, oh yes, I'm ready to die not only here but everywhere. And James said, let me suggest to you what you should do. You should shave your hair. He did it. James had it. They had it. They had capitulated from the true doctrine. Isn't that right? These apostles had capitulated, and they want to suck Paul into with them. And you know, he had his head shaved, Paul. They almost got him. You remember that, Brother Brown? I know you do. They almost got Paul. They got him to shave his head and take a vow. He did took it. But then there was an uproar. You remember the big uproar? Where they wanted to kill Paul, and then he said, I'm going to appeal to Caesar at Rome. This is how he managed to get away. And he stood out as a rock and a light and a beacon of hope. So God had invested more in the Apostle Paul, to me, than any of the other apostles. So this morning we want to look into some things along those lines. The challenge of Christianity. And we want to read as our lesson text, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. So let's look into that passage of scripture, 2 Timothy 2, beginning at verse number 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardships with me. Let me go back to that. Suffer hardships with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in the active service entangles himself in the affairs of this life so that he may please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does it not. He has competed as an athlete, as we see it. He does it not with the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be first to receive his share of crops. Consider, I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now the Apostle Paul here has used three metaphors. We could just say amen and go home, right? Right there. Just from the reading alone. But we're not going to do that. We got to get deeper and explain to the membership, friends and visitors alike, what's going on here. You know, it is easy to lose sight of real Christianity. Very easy. And it is said we are what we are taught, according to 2 Timothy 2:2. Faithfulness is necessary to teaching, and teaching is necessary to faithfulness. Amen. Christianity is a taught religion. You remember Jesus talk about that in John chapter number 6, 44 and 45? They shall all be taught of God. So Christianity is a taught religion. And we need to be able, come from the word hekonos, which means to be qualified and competent. A good method of instructional teaching is the use of metaphors. So we're going to break it down, because sometimes we just say we're going to use a couple of metaphors, but we don't break it down. We need to break it down. Now, when we talk about metaphor, we are talking about simile as well, because the metaphor and the simile, they are related. Very close. The metaphor and simile have a lot in common. So we will look at them together. It is easy to learn how they are different by studying them in the comparison with each other. The metaphor is a figure of speech. Let me just run that by you again. The metaphor is a figure of speech in which a term is translated from the object it usually designates. To an object, it may only designate in the comparison. For example, we're going to give an example now. The phrase, you are a lion's cub. You remember that in Genesis 49:9? That Judah, you are a lion's cub. Genesis 49:9. A lion's cub is not usually used to designate a man. But in this case, and perhaps in this case only, it is used to designate Judah by comparison. You remember the lion of the tribe of Judah? And it says Jesus sprang out of Judah. So this is the description here. And so what we just read from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the following verses, verses 1 through about 6, describes a metaphor and simile. They are very close, as I said before. Now, the simile, it is pronounced sumuchly, spelled S-E-M-U-H-L-W. It is a figure of speech in which two unlike things are compared to each other. It comes from the same word as similar, spelled S-I-M-I-L-A-R. It is usually indicated by the word like, as of. For example, in Isaiah number 53 and verse 6, we are all sheep, like sheep have gone astray. You remember that? Now, man and sheep are not the same kind of animal, isn't that right? No. But they have similarities in that they all go astray, isn't that right? You let go a cattle, I've seen it happen, and it would find his way back home on his own. A dog or a cat will find its way back. You try it. You may have tried it and you've seen it, but not a sheep. So sheep go astray and humans also go astray. You talk about going astray, we are the easiest people to go astray, amen? Yes. Well, you look right and you look left, we're gone. But we have the intelligence they don't have. Isn't that something? It's something to think about. So men and sheep are not the same kind of animal, yet both are alike, are similar in that they both go astray. Another example is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you begin reading from verse number 7, where it says, Goliath's spear, his spear is like a weaver's rod. You remember that? Yes. And so it goes on and on, the similarity, and it's found in the New Testament as well. The kingdom of heaven is like, you remember Jesus, particularly in Matthew chapter 13? There's a whole list of parables given by Jesus where he likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto hidden treasure in the field. Remember that one? And so many of them. So the word like is a clue to the difference in the metaphor and the simile. So now we have that, we could proceed, can't we? Yes, we could proceed. So the Christian is likened unto a soldier. A soldier. Some of you may have been in the military. You have had your training. Some of you may have been ex-servicemen and women. Isn't that right? And if you are currently in the military, you know what I'm talking about. Especially when you come to drill, Brother Brown. And you have to deal with the drill sergeant. Amen? And you're not dressed properly. You got to be saying, yes, sir. No, sir. And he's roughing you up, but you gotta calm down and take it easy, isn't that right? Yes. But then now, after your training, horse training, the other thing is you being deployed on the battlefield, amen? If you remember in World War II, you may have studied that, and that's something we could look at. In World War II, the ground was their place of survival. And they had to dig, you remember? Dig the ground and hide themselves. That was their home on the battlefield. This is what is depicted here as a soldier of Christ. If we do it and we have done it in the physical realm, much more the spiritual. That's the physical realm. You could see soldiers ducking when shells coming from all over, but then they survive by those foxholes. Today we have nice homes to live in, but yet sometimes we complain, isn't that right? That was their home. You're talking, they eat, sleep, and wake up everything there. Because they volunteer to fight, and sometimes they are drafted. When they had their draft, they had to be drafted. So this is what Paul is depicting here. So if you get what this is saying, he is saying to Christianity is a huge challenge. It's like that. You see, I've seen people who said to me, Brother Richards, they see me dressed in a suit and tie. And they say, Brother Richards, who are you? I said, well, I said, I'm an evangelist, preacher of the gospel of Christ. I go places where people say they're not going to go unless they have X amount of money. I go by faith because souls are more precious. Their eternal destiny and my eternal destiny are more important than anything else. And God will provide the funds. Even though there's a little here and a little there. But the gospel will be preached. But they see me dressed and they say, well, I want to be like you. Be like me. You don't know what it's like to be like me. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 11. Where Paul said we are poorly clothed. Poorly fed. We are like a spectacle. And we are homeless. Read that when you have a time. Sometime. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse number 11. It's not an easy thing. You see Brother Richards going with a smile and our evangelist. You ask them, what it's like to be an evangelist? And they start telling you, you cry, you say, brother, I thought I had troubles, but let me shut my mouth. But you know one thing, God is able. This is one thing I learned on the battlefield. Whatever happens, God is able. And I can stand before you and tell you that God had brought me from a long way. Isn't that right? Yes. And I can talk about it and give God the glory. Because what is impossible to men, this is why when people got troubles, you just pray for them, yeah? When you see Christians with troubles, pray for them. Don't go about talking them down and say this happened to them. Pray for them. Because God is able to turn it around. If they stay focused on the one thing that Paul did. Paul stayed focused on the gospel. You remember one time they want to worship him. I think it was Lystra. Where the people, there was a miracle performed and they want to worship Paul and Silas. And Paul said, wait, don't do this. We are men like you, isn't that right? And we preach unto you the gospel. We tell you about God who made the heaven and earth. He made the heavens and the earth and he filled our hearts with food and gladness. You remember that? And Paul said, we are just simple men like you. But this is done by God Almighty. And if you notice something, Paul didn't focus on the miracles. If you give people a chance today, they want you to focus on miracle. But the focus was on the gospel of Christ. Paul knew the gospel of Christ was God's plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. It was not miracles. Miracles show that Jesus was the Son of God by the miracles which he did. And the miracles of the apostles show that the word is confirmed. Because Jesus said, when you go forth, these signs and miracles will follow you. And they went forth and preached. And this is what Paul was doing. Paul did that. He stayed focused on the gospel of Christ. And this is what we are to do today. If we're going to make heaven our home. It's not easy. So when you think of those soldiers in the physical realm, this is the picture we need to get. And if you go to Ephesians chapter number 6, then in Ephesians 6, they didn't have the kind of weapons we have today. They didn't even have the weapons they had in World War II, much less today. And that's the standard, the sword, you remember? You remember the gladiators? Yes. They were fierce men. The Romans defeated the world and became one of the greatest empires ever by the sword. And the Bible tells us the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now, you could say to me, Brother Richards, I feel it in my heart. It's not this one. You could take this out and put in a pacemaker. But it's this one. For with the heart is up here. Not this. So next time, don't do that. Just do this. Amen. It's this. For with the heart, the intellect, the inner man, believe God, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. You see where it's, how it's close? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This one, the heart. And so, a good way to preach the gospel of Christ is the use of metaphors. And so in this passage, we are using the three metaphors listed here. Living the Christian life demands sacrifice. Now, here's the difference. I told you this before, and I'm going to repeat it again. The chicken lays her eggs, and she flies away making a big noise that she had made a sacrifice. That's not a sacrifice. Because she is still alive, isn't that right? The hog or the pig says, for me to give ham, I have to give my life. That's a sacrifice. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not this again, but this. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sacrifice. That's what it means to be a Christian. One must be willing to suffer. The Bible tells us, told us that those who live godly in Christ would suffer, isn't that right? And perhaps if you have some suffering, maybe it's because you need to live godly in Christ. That's what it's all about, suffering. Now, I don't go here and there to preach the gospel of Christ just to have a good time. I know one of the things is suffering. Because last year in St. Croix, there was a food fair in which I didn't know St. Croix in the United States Virgin Islands have all of those things. I mean, it is a large facility, and they have all kinds of food, agricultural food fair. People from all over the world. I met people from Croatia and Europe and all different places. I mean, it's a spectacular thing, and all kinds of food. So, you had a chance to speak on the radio. Well, I stood in line to get my chance. Why not? Isn't that right? Because you would be telling people about the gospel. So, two guys went up before. One of them, they call him a reverend. So, I wait until the reverend mister was finished. And he said how he had gained so many people. And when my turn came, I told him what that reverend told you. Well, by the way, reverend is apply only to God, but because society, because we understand that they, whether you want them call you or not, they call you reverend, and they ain't going to stop. They will call you reverend. So I said, well, God is the person who is a reverend, not us. But then after the reverend so-called finished, I said, look, we can't do like him. I said, we have to preach the gospel to people. And it takes time for the gospel to take hold in people's mind. He can just go out and tell somebody, raise their hands and ask God to come, the Lord to come into your heart. That's not what the gospel is. And I made the difference on the radio. Amen. Glory be to God. This is not what the gospel is. The gospel must be preached. People must hear. And people must believe with all their heart. And be baptized for the remission of sins. And so that was aired on the radio. Amen. There's an opportunity to air the gospel, and we did it. And so it makes a difference. It's a difference. We're about a difference. We're about the truth. Later on, I will share with you some things that we need to know and hear. Because this salvation, what we are talking about here, Christianity, this was purpose with God before the foundation of the world. God didn't purpose a denomination. You know, we live in a world where people say, what religion do you belong to? And people start saying, I'm a Catholic, a Methodist, or a Baptist. Now, we didn't come. I have friends who are Methodist, Catholic, and Baptist. I love them. But you got to let these folk know this is not what God's salvation is all about. It was God's plan in redeeming mankind. The word religion doesn't mean a Methodist, a Catholic, or a Baptist. It comes from two Latin words. And it means, the Latin word is li and rego, which means to bind back. And so God's way of binding back sinful man unto himself is the death of Christ. But this was in God's purpose before Adam and Eve. It was in God's eternal purpose before the foundation of the world. And so we'll look into that later. Before. Aren't you not glad? This is eternal. And so if you are not in this, you are out. See? And this is why people need to turn from these denominational teaching to Christ, the gospel. We love you, and that's why we are telling you these things. We want you to turn and turn to Jesus Christ the way God says. Now, not only the soldier, he talked about the athlete. You know, in athletics, you're going to train for the Olympics. You train for years and years and years for one day, isn't that right? And the training is not easy. Sometimes some people have to give up and not make the Olympics because they're injured in training. Is that right? And they can't go. But now, as Christian athletes in athletics, Lord have mercy. The Apostle Paul tells us something here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians 9, we want to look at verse number 25 and 26. Everyone who competes, so Paul knows about competing. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wealth or crown. But we an imperishable crown. Isn't it something? What we are doing, we would receive a crown that would not perish. A crown of life that lasts forever. It would not perish. But you see, we got to believe it. Do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. But that was not all of it. There's more to it. In verse number 26 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 26. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beat in the air. You know they got some boxers? They box and just beat the air. But Paul said, I make my shots count. I make my hooks and my jabs, whatever you want to call it, count for something. I didn't just beat the air. And he said, I did it lest that when I do that, I myself may be a reject. I discipline, verse number 27, I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Living the Christian life is a lot like running the race. All must enter and run the race. 1 Corinthians 9, we just read it, 25 to 27. Christians, or the characteristics of Christians as athletes, they must first be disciplined. Number one, discipline. You must have self-denial. One must observe the rules, play by the rules. We must keep our eyes on the finish line. It's not over yet. We are still here. We are still in the race. We are still in the fight like the soldiers. Isn't that right? Amen. It's not over until it's over. Sometimes we think, well, we may have arrived, so we become locked at this. No, let's act as though we just begin. Amen. Because that's what it is. We must keep our eyes on the finish line and look unto Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then the other is the Christian farmer. Now I have seen some people, some farmers, and I talked about them the other day. They didn't have the sophisticated tractors that we have now today. And they would use the fork, the hoe, and the pen. And they will be in that field. I mean, they would go in the skin fair and nice, and when they get out in the evening, they black as anything else from the sun heat. I mean, they live all day. When I look at them, sometimes you say, but how did he manage to do that in the heat of the sun? That's what Christianity is about. We don't have no limit in our hours. We walk when we're asleep. Somebody say, come. Somebody want to be baptized and you're asleep. You got to go. Amen. I remember telling a brother to baptize somebody for me because I didn't have a prospect. I didn't have the time. I had to leave. So I asked him to go. The person who went to tell him to go and baptize the person, his refer to them was, you know what, I got to work for a living. I'm not being supported like those preachers, so I can't go. Isn't that something? It has nothing to do with support. Amen. It has to do with your Christian responsibility. A soul, somebody wanted to be baptized for remission of sins, somebody couldn't do it. And here is someone asking you to go baptize that person, and that's what you're saying? I know we have to work for a living, but didn't Jesus said, labor not for those things which perish it? It don't mean you shouldn't work, but don't put the emphasis. Don't put the emphasis on that. Because before you know it, you are gone out into eternity. You remember that rich fool, Jesus called him? Who said he's going to tear down those small barns and build bigger? And Jesus said, thou fool, God said, this night thy soul is required of thee. And who is going to own all of these things which you have accumulated? It may be somebody who you didn't like. Yeah, he hated them while they are alive, but now they are in possession of his goods. This is why Jesus said, do not labor for the things that perish. You know something I learned, and sometimes it brings tears to my eyes. Here's what I learned. If even we baptize people by the thousands, Jesus said, you haven't done anything yet. Think that you haven't done anything yet, because it's just like peanuts, isn't that right? Because over the years, more people, you have to deal with more people, on and on and on and on. And so the job is not done. No one could say I baptized 30, 40,000 people. That's not anything. You may baptize one, it's just as good as 40. Amen. But you got to glorify God. You got to get it done. You remember Jesus? You remember Jesus who went to the cross? He was willing to do it. He was beaten. He was spat upon. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was actually tasting the hell we deserve. Think of all the sins that was committed from the time of Adam until the time Jesus died. The very size of it staggers our imagination, much less to today. You know, today is a different world. I don't know why some people talk about going to heaven. Look where we are today, where they say same-sex marriage is all right. When God said no! You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You want to make heaven your home? You better get right with God. You better repent and do the will of God. And so, the farmer labor and labor and labor and toil. Christians as farmers must learn to walk and wait. Remember Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but you know what? God giveth the increase. If God didn't give the increase, you would have no increase. The farmer has no formal hours of work. He must be willing to walk long hours. We are to be willing to walk long hours. Yes, we are to. I remember times telling people, look, brother, look, sir, look, you better straighten your life out. Because some people don't understand certain things. I remember there's a lady, some of the brothers from the church said to place her in fellowship. I said, are you crazy? No one could place anybody in fellowship. People have to obey the gospel regardless. So I pulled the lady aside and I asked her, what did you do, ma'am? She said she was in a religion called Spiritual Baptist. You heard about that? Spiritual Baptist? When they baptize you, they give three dips. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. I said, ma'am, I want to have a study with you. This is not Bible. This is some kind of doctrine, but it's not taught in the scriptures. So I pull her aside and show her. She said, oh, I see. So you ought to be buried once in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. She said, I'm ready to go. Oh, amen. Glory be to God. And we took her and baptized her for the remission of sins. There are persons like that we are walking on now. And hopefully pray that we'll get them to obey the gospel of Christ. So, the farmer must walk. He must be willing to walk long hours. We have a limited time on earth to labor. And even Jesus made reference to it. He said, the night cometh when no man can see to walk. In my conclusion, you know, the focus of this passage was on the soldier and is upheld by the thought of the final victory. You know, in the battle we look for victory, isn't that right? Yeah, we have defeated the enemy. Just like they did, that's why I'm using this, because it's the soldier. Just like they did in World War II. If the Allies wasn't victorious, you and I might be speaking German. Or Japanese, isn't that right? Am I right about it? Yes. And you would have to do it by force. Because you remember studying something about Hitler and about the Japanese people. They really didn't want to give in until they had the bomb that was dropped. As today, things would be different. But then we are talking about a battle here that's real, and it's an eternal reward waiting for all of us. This is not just a battle to win and say we are victorious. This is forever. Amen. This is an ever battle. So the story of the soldier, the focus on the soldier, is upheld by the thought of final victory. In the athlete, it has a vision of a crown. Isn't that right? You receive a crown of life. The farmer, he anticipates the harvest. There is a challenge in each of these metaphors. In the variety, the three different metaphors, one surely can find a personal challenge because some people have served as soldiers. Isn't that right? We said it before when we started. Some of you may have served as soldiers in the service. Some of you may be coming soldiers. You are in training. And some may have been athletes. You have done athletics, or you are planning to do so. And some of you are farmers, and you know what it's like. And so the message is ours. The message is yours. You have to decide what you're going to do all your life. You have to make a decision every time in your life. It's not just a one-time decision and you're done. You have to decide what the core of your existence is going to be. Am I going to give up under pressure, or am I going to move forward? Well, I believe we should be thinking of moving forward regardless to what. It costs losing our lives, because Jesus said, if we lose our lives for the gospel's sake and righteousness' sake, we will what? Find it. But if we save our lives, we'll do what? We'd lose it. And Paul was willing to die at Jerusalem, at Rome, any place. And one of the things I asked the Lord to do is, you know, you could pray and ask the Lord for some things and he will do it. I know that. Can you say the Lord had helped you with some things lately? Yes, he has. Don't let me die a death, I hope, of burning up in a fire. You know? Or falling out of the sky from a plane. Because a lot of people have gone on by that way. Isn't that true? But I'm not afraid to lay down here if it happened and die. And go on to eternity is better. Amen, it's better. I was never afraid of death. I'm concerned, yes, of those who are left behind. Those people who need a chance. Where other people may not even bother with them. Because you and I come in contact with people. You will come in contact with people that I would never know. And I will come in contact with people that you may never know. So anytime I'm in contact with them, the gospel of Christ is up in my mind to get to share with them. Told a lady this morning, before we leave the hotel, Mom, I saw her lingering around and she was smoking and looking. I say, well, how about if we give you an invitation? Yes, isn't that right? I like to give an invitation to come worship with us today. Yes, she would have been here, but then she has some things that she needs to take care of. We understand that. Well, you meet people and you get in contact with them. You need to first of all bring them the gospel, because you may never have that opportunity again. And now we come by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. We must believe the things we hear. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently believe him. And then one must, having heard and believed, one must repent. It seems that repentance is the hardest, because repentance follows us all of our lives. Isn't that right? We repent all the time. Jesus said, except we repent, we will perish. Luke 13:3. And then one must confess his or her faith in Christ. The world said, confess your sins. But no, God knows about our sins. But we must confess our faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. And then one must be willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. When Peter preached on Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and unto all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God should call. And with many other words, he testifies, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And in verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church day by day such as should be saved. You could be part of that plan of salvation today. As a child of God, you may have fallen away. Because we have different ways of repentance, changing our mind. Repentance means being penitent, not reporting, but repenting. I believe in repenting, not reporting. And sometimes people have a way where they make things right with God. Isn't that right? Yes. And between them and the other person who they have some kind of thing against. But then, we need to make things right while we are alive. And I do make things right all the time, even though you may not know. But God said, do it in secret sometimes, and the Lord will bless you up openly. Yes. But then you have an opportunity right here to repent while together we stand and sing. Won't you come?